Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law news and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on famine coming to the United States right after this. You know, in 1970, the world food supply was 73 days for every man, woman, and child in the world. Today, it's down to 38 days. Now, we Americans produce grain for export, but then we turn around and import grapes from Chile, tomatoes from Mexico, and berries from Guatemala. Our food supply is in the hands of foreigners and multinational corporations who support this Global 2000 population reduction program. Globalization may be good for business, but globalization is a bad idea for you and me. Back in 1940, we all had a pantry full of food to feed our families for a year or more. Today, we have a 3-day supply in our refrigerators, and we believe in our supermarket system of just-in-time delivery to feed us all. Over the past 60 years, we Americans have traded a 1-year food supply for 3 days. Now, do you think that's very wise? And these global 2,000 mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians plan to use famine, plague, disease, and pestilence to reduce the Earth's population by 90%. That's 90% over the next 50 years, so says the Club of Rome. Now, these evil madmen with their global 2000 genocide agenda have a cause that they're willing to die for, and I say let them die for their cause. And then let you and I live for our cause. And let me show you from the scripture how to be a live survivor instead of a dead victim. If you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package. Now, that's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free of charge. You can call and order one for yourself right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, my subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send an email request for your free general law CD package. That's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about this thing called famine coming to the United States of America. I gave you some more facts and figures concerning a type of famine, a type of famine that I described as being nutritional deficiency. Famine comes in two forms. You can have all the food that you can stuff into your face and starve to death. And that's called nutritional deficiency. You know, you can die from scurvy by simply not having enough vitamin C. It doesn't have anything to do with not having enough calories, not having plenty of food. People do that all the time. America is the most overfed and undernourished nation on the planet. And we have more sickness and disease in this country than any other nation in the world. I've mentioned this before. Let me share it with you again. In 1900, you know, about 100 years ago, cancer in this country struck one person in 33. Today it's 1 in 2, and it's headed toward 1 in 1. Now, something very dramatic has occurred over the past 100 years in our cancer statistics, and the answer is fairly simple. As we eat poorer and poorer foods, our immune systems become weaker and weaker. As we get weaker and weaker physically, opportunistic diseases move in, and they strike us down. So one guy gets cancer, another guy gets muscular dystrophy, another guy gets Parkinson's disease. These diseases are caused by weakened immune systems. You can't get sick with a strong immune system. Let me repeat that. You can't get sick with a strong immune system. When your immune system's running at 100%, you'll never get sick. When you get down to 90, 80, or 70%, you'll get a little sickness once in a while. You get down to 50% immune response, and you get sick quite often. Now, I told you the last time I was going to tell you a story about Super Size Me. It's a movie. It's a documentary. It ought to be a comedy. It's just absolutely hilarious. At least I was sitting there laughing and scratching and jumping up and down, pawing the ground, biting the bushes. A student sent it to me. Super Size Me is a story about McDonald's. It's about fast food. It's about people that are overweight. Now, it's kind of tragic, and I'm not here to make fun of people that are overweight, especially since 27% of Americans are now obese or overweight. In Mississippi, the state that has the record, one person in four, 25% of the people in Mississippi are overweight or obese. Now, one person out of every four in America, that's 25% of us, are going to eat in a fast food restaurant today. And 25% of us tomorrow and 25% the day after. Now, what that statistically tells us is that in a week of 7 days, everybody in America is going to eat there about twice, round numbers, about twice every week. Nutritionists tell us that you should never eat in fast food. That's most nutritionists. And if you're going to eat fast food, once a month is really stretching it. Once a month. If you went to McDonald's and had a Big Mac once a month, you'd be stretching your health. Many people eat there every day. And then, of course, a lesser number eat there twice a week, and a lesser number eat there, you know, once a week, and so on down the line. But the moral of the story is, Americans are not hungry. Americans are getting plenty to eat. I mean, as a nation, there might be a few hungry people here and there, but as a nation, we got plenty to eat. So when I come on the air and I say, listen, there's going to be a physical shortage of food in this country shortly, I'm not whistling Dixie through a straw hat. We have a public policy that's in place. This public policy has been in place to one degree or another for the last 50 years, but it has really taken shape over the last 10 to 20 years. From about 1980 on, our nation has taken on a public policy which is shown in our laws that come out of Congress and our state legislatures, that is promoting a policy which is guaranteed to give us a physical food shortage. And I mentioned last time genetically modified or genetically engineered seed. But this movie it's a documentary is what it is, on Super Size Me, was put out by a guy by the name of Spurlock, Morgan Spurlock. Young fella, probably, I doubt if he's 30 years old, but he might be. And he weighed 185 pounds. And he took a look at this. Now, this guy, Norman, he's a health food nut. They start off the documentary, and he's sitting there with his girlfriend eating dinner, and they're eating all organic, and they're eating all vegetarian. And I mean, this guy is a food nut, and he's eating good food. And his body shows it. He's 185 pounds. He has 11% body fat. His blood pressure was good. His blood tests were good. His electrolytes were good. He had low triglycerides, 11% body fat, weighed 185 pounds. And to make sure that he was checked out for this picture, I mean, they spent some money on this picture. He travels all over the United States. They start in New York. They go out to Los Angeles, and they stop in a number of cities. And they're using McDonald's as the key fast food joint, because McDonald's is the biggest. McDonald's supplies 43% of all the fast food consumed in the United States. I was kind of amazed. That's almost half of all the fast food consumed in the United States. Take Burger King and Wendy's and Pizza Hut and the Domino's and, you know, all in and KFC. Put them all together, they've got a 57% share of the market. McDonald's has a 43% share all by themselves. That's amazing. McDonald's has 30,000 restaurants or 30,000 outlets worldwide on six continents. They serve enough food in their 30,000 restaurants to feed all the people in Spain on any given day. I mean, they got some good numbers in this movie. I don't know what this movie costs. I imagine you could probably rent it from Blockbusters or somebody. I would suggest that you get a copy of the movie. It'll blow your mind. I mean, it'll just rock you to your foundations. I never saw anything like it. And I see a lot of documentaries. Honest to God, I've never seen anything like this. And the three doctors who supervised this trial, supervised this experiment, were just as flabbergasted as I was. He went in to three doctors. He talked to a guy. Let's see if I've got them. I'm looking at my notes here. Just hang on. He goes into these three doctors. One of them's a nutritionist. One of them is a sports trainer. Now, there's five of these people altogether. Five experts in the field of medicine and nutrition. One is a sports trainer. One is a licensed nutritionist. Three of them are doctors. And of the three doctors, one's a general practitioner. One of them's a cardiovascular specialist. And one of them is a gastroenterologist. This lady doctor, she just specializes in your guts. One specializes in your heart, and the other is a general practitioner. And they take this guy through, and three doctors give this guy three physicals, and they give him everything. They just check him out. They take his blood out both ends, and they analyze his blood, and they wrote up a history. I mean, there must be a list there of 50 numbers. I'll be conservative. 25 numbers. You know, like your cholesterol and triglycerides. I mean, they got 50 numbers down this page over here. And they go through here and they say, well, how's this guy's cholesterol? Well, it's at this number. And then, well, how's his triglycerides? Well, it's at this number. And then you go to all three doctors, and all three doctors do the same thing. And they determine that this guy is in perfect health. This guy's got perfect blood pressure. He's got perfect blood tests. He's got perfect electrolytes. He's got perfect triglycerides. He's got 11% body fat. It's below where he's supposed to be. Everything about this guy is perfect. Now, he's gonna supersize me. He's gonna go to McDonald's. He's gonna eat out of McDonald's restaurants for 30 days, nationwide. Now, he set up some rules, and here's some of the rules. He said he's never going to order the supersize unless he's asked. So during the 30 days, he was asked 9 times, do you want the supersize? And 9 times he said yes. But he never went in and said, give me the supersize. The rule of the game was, you got to ask me. So he was asked 9 times out of 30 days, do you want the supersize? And he never ate anything that wasn't for sale in McDonald's. For instance, they sell water in McDonald's, so he drank water. Another rule was that he had to eat at least one of everything on the McDonald's menu. So he had the chicken McNuggets, and he had the fish, and he had the Big Macs, and he had the Little Macs, and the in-between Macs. He had the parfaits. He had the milkshakes. He had anything that they've got, he ordered. At least once during the 30 days. He had to eat there 3 times a day. That's 90 meals in McDonald's. He didn't eat at McDonald's just in New York. He ate in McDonald's in New York and Chicago and Houston and Dallas and Los Angeles. He ate all over the country on this travel. And in this travelogue, they interview people. People typically at the McDonald's restaurant. So they go into the McDonald's restaurant and they'd say, well, how often do you eat here? Well, 2, 3, 4 times a week or something like that. All right, so here's a guy who starts off in perfect health. He starts off with 3 doctors over here. In 30 days, he's in bad health. 90 meals, 30 days later, he's in bad health. His blood pressure is high. His blood tests are poor. His electrolytes are bad. His triglycerides are high. His 11% body fat went up. I forgot how much the percentage was on the body fats, but get this. He went in at 185 pounds in 30 days. He weighed 210. Now listen, boys and girls. There's a controversy here in America as to whether or not these fast food restaurants make you fat. And when you take a look at Americans today, now 27% of Americans today nationwide are either overweight. Now, that's 100 million people. Well, it isn't just overweight. It's overweight and or obese. Now, obese means that you're more than overweight. I don't know exactly what the numbers are, but, you know, they come along and they say this guy at 6'2" and 185 pounds is at the ideal weight for his height. And then, you know, if he weighed 210 pounds, well, now he's a little overweight. And then pretty soon at 250 pounds, well, he's kind of overweight. And at 300 pounds, maybe he's moderately obese. And at 350 pounds, he's obese and so on. I don't know what the exact numbers are, but, you know. And they show some pictures of some pretty gross people. I don't say the people are gross. That's probably a poor way to put that. But you know, when a woman is about 5'6" or 5'8" and she weighs about 300 or 400 pounds, that's a tragedy. I mean, that is really bad. That is starvation. That is famine. This woman that weighs 300 or 400 pounds, and they had some men in there too, ladies, so I'm not just picking on women, but listen to this prophecy in Leviticus 26. Verse 26, it says, "When I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied." Now remember, I mentioned to you last time that Adolf Steinbrunn, let me flip over to page 6, of Fairbanks, Iowa, compared 4,000 samples of hybrid corn tested in 10 Midwest states. Steinbrunn's open-pollinated corn contained 75% more crude protein, 875% more copper, 345% more iron, and 205% more manganese. Remember that story I told you that last time? That's open-pollinated. That's seed that comports with Leviticus 19:19. All right. Now here's this prophecy over here in Leviticus 26:26. It says, "When I've broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied." Now that's the King James Version. Let me just read that in modern English. Here's what it says when we paraphrase it. "When I've broken the staff of your bread, when I've taken away the nutritional value from your wheat, 10 women working in the ITT bakery in St. Louis shall bake your bread in one block long oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight in 1 pound loaves, and you shall eat that wallpaper paste and not be satisfied because there's no nutritional value in it." Now that's Wonder Bread. Wonder Bread. The same kind of stuff that they serve you at McDonald's. You know that white bread? The starch in the wheat. Now, first of all, if you ate the whole grain wheat, you could only get 7 to 13% protein out of it because that's all that's in it. We haven't practiced land Sabbaths or Jubilees. We've practiced industrial agriculture. And the way that works is, in the agricultural system, in the biological system, a cubic foot of soil contains 186,000 microorganisms, and all of those microorganisms work in a good, healthy, organic soil to turn out good, healthy, organic products. Wheat, for instance. And the wheat contained, back in 1880, 24% protein. And it contained lots of iron and magnesium and trace elements and minerals. Now, by not letting the land rest once every 7 years, called a land Sabbath, which takes about 16%. I mean, after all, we don't want to lose 16% of our productivity. So instead of letting it rest once every 7 years, we just farm it continually for 80 or 100 years. And when we get through, we find out that we consume more and more of the organic material in the soil. Now, when we consume the organic material in the soil becomes less and less nutritive for the plants. In other words, we're degrading the soil. We're mining the soil, and when we do that, there's less copper, less boron, and less nutrients for that plant to eat. That being the case, the plant has less nutrients in it, which is why Adolf Steinbrunn said, gee, look at this, has 345% less iron, 245% less, you know, of, or 875% less copper, 345% less iron in it because it's been mined out of the soil. Now, as we do that, we find a phenomenon occurs. Insects appear out of nowhere, and these insects consume the corn. So when we saw more and more insects consuming more and more of our corn, we woke up one day and said, oh my God, we got to have something to solve that problem. So along come the chemical companies and they say, look at this neat poison. We call it DDT. You spray this on your corn, kills all the corn borers. God, that's a miracle. See, then we can plant the corn on this weak, sick soil. And when the insects come, which is the biological mix, see, when God designed this, he designed the soil, designed the plants, and designed the insects. Did it all in the 6 days of creation. Remember that story? So, when the soil gets weak, the insects come and eat the corn plants. And that's because the corn plants are lacking 875% copper. Tastes good to the bug. You can't taste the difference anyway because you're Homo sapiens and it doesn't make any difference to you. You can't tell the difference. But the bug can. And insects do not eat healthy plants. Insects only eat unhealthy plants. Corn borers only eat unhealthy plants. And that's because animals and insects and bugs can tell the difference by the taste. And I showed you that in the last program. That on this genetically modified or genetically engineered corn, that the cows wouldn't eat it. They'd eat the open pollinated, but they wouldn't eat the BT corn. Now, if a cow's got corn in front of her and that's all she's got to eat and she's hungry, she'll eat the BT corn. That's what they'll do. If a cow is hungry and you put open pollinated corn and you put BT corn, you put genetically modified, they'll eat the open pollinated. They won't eat the BT. Well, that's exactly the way insects work. You take an insect and you put him out in the field and he'll crawl up and down the corn plant, and if that corn plant is healthy and it's got 100% of the vitamins and minerals that it's supposed to have, the corn borer won't bother that one. You get one that's deficient in something, he'll get right into it. And you see that in an apple tree. Those worms get into the sick, weak apples. That's the design mechanism in agriculture. God designed it that way. I oftentimes use, oh my God, look at the miracle of random chance. But that's not random chance, that's careful design. And now, let's carry this one step further. You keep farming this soil year after year, even though you're putting on these pesticides, the DDT, to kill the corn borers, and you find that something phenomenal occurs. As the soil gets weaker and weaker, the plants get stunted. Irrespective of the insects eating the plants themselves get smaller and smaller and weaker and weaker. As there's less nutrients in the soil, the plants themselves become shorter and shorter. Now, to demonstrate that, in 1916... there's some organic soil up in Wisconsin, and this guy has his wife standing on his shoulders. And she is reaching up and can't quite touch the top of the tassel on the corn in his garden. Now, these corn stalks are 16 feet tall. This guy is about 6 foot tall. His wife is about 5 or 5.5 feet tall, and she's got her arm extended, and this corn is 16 feet tall, and she cannot quite reach the top of that corn. Now, have you ever seen 16 foot tall corn? See, we don't grow 16 foot tall corn. Corn grows about 3 to 4 feet. Now, this corn produces ears of corn, and this hybrid corn is specially engineered and designed to produce 125 bushels to the acre. That's miraculous. That's wonderful. 125 bushels to the acre. Now, this 125 bushel to the acre corn is 875% short of copper, 345% short of iron, and 75% short of protein. But boy, we get lots of bins and bushels of foodless food, which is the purpose for food's existence. Now, when you grow this corn over here on good, healthy, organic soil, you get just as much corn, and it has 100% of its nutrients. As you keep mining the soil without land Sabbaths, the soil gets weaker and weaker. So to solve that problem, the chemical companies came in and said, listen, we can sell you chemical fertilizer made from petroleum. We can sell you chemicals to put on the soil. And they did. And it's miraculous. It's what's motivated. It's what has produced the Green Revolution and all these hybridized seeds. So here comes Monsanto and the seed companies. And then here comes OrthoGrow and Standard Oil of New Jersey. And then here comes DuPont and DDT. And these industrial applications of industrial chemicals put on the soil will mask these poor farming practices. Farming is a biological process, and the farmers who are lazy and who are greedy and do not want to follow or obey God and practice land Sabbaths pursuant to the law in Leviticus 25, farm the land until they wear it out. And then when they wear it out, they go to the chemical companies, and the chemical companies say, look, we can mask these poor farming practices, and we can put these chemicals on the soil, and we can get 126 bushels. Now, boys and girls, when you go to the grocery store to buy corn, do you buy corn based upon the protein content, or do you buy corn by the ear? I'm just asking the question. When you go to the grocery store, you don't ask what the protein content or the copper content or the manganese content or the nutritive value of the product is. You buy it by the pound. Now, for the farmer, this is a hell of a neat program. He farms the soil 7 years out of seven, which gains 16% in productivity. He takes a portion of that and he buys some chemicals and sprays and puts on there. He kills the insects which would eat those weak, sick plants. That way, the insect is dead, so the weak, sick plant makes it through the growing season and it's sold in the store to you and you eat the weak, sick plant. Now let's try this over. If the plant cannot get the vitamins and the minerals and the nutrients out of the soil because they're not there, how can you get the vitamins and the minerals and the nutrients out of the plants when the vitamins and the minerals and the nutrients are not in the plants to start with? All right, the answer is you can't. But you go ahead and you eat it anyway. Now, when you eat these weak, sick plants, aside from the fact that there are the chemicals in the plants and there are the pesticides on the plants that you probably aren't washing off and you're probably eating and poisoning yourself, you're not getting the nutrients to feed your immune system, and so your immune system gets weak. Is it any surprise then that you should get sick? That you should develop disease, that you should develop Parkinson's disease, muscular dystrophy, or cancer, or heart attack, or stroke. I mean, that's where the story is at. Now, it gets better than that, because in the Bible, God says, you shall not eat any fat. In fact, it's in Leviticus 3, verse 17. So let me flip over here to Leviticus 3, verse 17. I'll just read that to you real quickly over here. 3:17, it shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all of your dwellings that you eat neither fat nor blood. Now, you go down to McDonald's and you eat this Big Mac. This Big Mac is made with white bread. Even if the wheat that you're eating in this Big Mac, even if you had all of the nutrients, it's only got 13% protein to start with, and then you take that out by the milling process, and we just give you the starch, the carbohydrates. And we take the protein and the rest of the food value that's in the wheat, and we feed it to the cattle and the livestock, which isn't enough for them, so we have to give them bypass protein. That's the offal that comes out of the industrial manufacturing plants that manufacture the hamburger that goes into the rest of the Big Mac. And did you know that hamburger comes out by law at 30% fat, 70% meat, and 30% fat. And what did God just tell you there about eating fat? He said, you shall eat no blood or fat. So here's this Big Mac now with this nutrient-deficient wheat bun. And then you've got this fat, 30% by law, put into this bun. And it gets better as we describe the other ingredients that go into supersize me. And then we wonder why it is we're fat and overweight. Why it is that we're sick and nutritionally deficient and our immune systems are impaired here in America. And that's just the start of the story. Hang on. We'll be back with more right after this. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on the website. Remember, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and the law, or website, I should say, is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, economics, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. And the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. All right, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to the authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that these authors or publications that we endorse are necessarily going to endorse us. Most of the authors and publications that we cite on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, whose viewpoint is not necessarily endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. And the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, remember the website, georgegordon.org, or you can call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. All right, talking about Super Size Me, a documentary. It's about 2 hours long. The general practitioner, gastroenterologist, and a cardiac specialist went over this guy with a fine-tooth comb during the 30 days. He came back to New York after week one, week two, week three. He had 4 weigh-ins, 4 blood tests. I mean, they did this every 7 days for the 30-day period. So he had 4 physicals by all 3 of these medical doctors. And his health began to deteriorate the first week. They could see higher cholesterol, higher triglycerides. He had mental lapses. And this food is addictive. I don't know if you knew that or not, but they put MSG in it. They put sugar, caffeine, and MSG, these 3 chemicals, are all addictive. You become addicted to this food just like you become addicted to nicotine in the cigarettes. And you crave more of it and you have to eat more and more of it. And they got a story in here about a guy that's drinking, God, it was really amazing. He was drinking 2 gallons a day of diet soda. And the thing that triggered his problem was that he went blind. So he couldn't see. He had to come home from work. He's overweight, fat. And so he had surgery to reduce the size of his stomach to about the, I don't know, they said they were going to reduce it to the size of an apple. And then that would restrict his eating. And he quit drinking the diet soda and had this this surgery. And he lost 100 pounds. Now, if you want to do that, it'll work, because this guy lost 100 pounds and he quit eating so much, quit drinking the diet soda. Could you do it without the operation, without the without the going blind? Now, the guy's name is Morgan Spurlock. He says 1 in 4 Americans eat fast food every day. 100 million Americans are overweight or obese in America. That's doubled from 50 million in 1980. So in 25 years, we've gone from 50 million fat to 100 million fat. 27% are overweight. That's 1 in 4 in Mississippi. 43% of fast food is marketed by McDonald's here in the United States. You got 30,000 stores on 6 continents. Now, here's another little piece of the story that I should relate to you. Why do people frequent these fast food stores? And the answer is they start off by educating you as a child. And it's a psychological process. Now, they start off, for instance, the tobacco companies. I gave this example years ago. They used to have candy cigarettes. I remember when I was a kid. They used to have candy cigarettes, and they were marked Lucky's and Pall Malls and so on, and it cost you a nickel or a dime, and you'd buy these candy cigarettes, and they're little pieces of hard candy. And you'd stick it in your lips and suck on it, and it gets shorter and shorter, and you're pretending like you're smoking, see? And this one psychologist said, you know, that works like a shot, because when this kid gets old, he remembers the sweet taste, he remembers the good times. And when he gets to be of smoking age, he just naturally goes over and buys that brand, whether it's Lucky Strikes or Camels or whatever. And you know, when I started smoking, at about age 12, 13, something like that, I started smoking Camel cigarettes. And do you know what kind of Camel, it was Camel candy cigarettes that I pretended to smoke when I was a little kid? And he said, it works just about that way with everybody. If you had started smoking Lucky Strikes, you probably, the candy cigarettes, you'd have smoked the Lucky Strikes. Now, here's the story as it moves through the life cycle. Your child today, just watching television on Saturday morning, you know, watching TV, is going to be exposed to 10,000 ads per year. That's what every child sees in America. 10,000 ads per year. Now, 57% of the ads that this kid is watching on TV have to do with food. It's Cheerios, or it's General Mills, or it's pizza, or it's McDonald's, or something. Now, there's other ads, of course, for toys and other things, but 57% of the ad, nearly 3 out of 4 ads is going to be for food. Now, compared with that, you, the parent, are going to have 1,000 food experiences per year with your children. I got that. You're going to go in and you're going to eat dinner with your children. You're going to take your children to a restaurant. You're going to go shopping with your children, and your child says, "Hey, I've got to have Fruit Loops." So you have 1,000 ads a year, and the food companies have 57% of 10,000 ads, or 5,700 ads, or about six times more opportunity to influence your child than you do. And it works. It works. And McDonald's spends $1.4 billion a year on advertising. PepsiCo spends $1 billion a year on advertising. Hershey's, the candy people, spend $200 million a year on advertising. But get this. Five a day fruit and vegetables advertises $2 million per year. $2 million against $1.4 billion. $2 million versus $1 billion, or $2 million versus $200 million. I mean, just add it up. So the bottom line is, your child is being inundated at McDonald's with this free park, birthday parties, happy meals, and he's being influenced by you or by somebody that's selling broccoli or Brussels sprouts. And you can see that the fast food advertisers have you outspent by about 1,000 to 1. Then they went to people and they asked, what is a calorie? So let me ask you that question. Boys and girls, you're listening to me right now. I'm going to ask you the question. I was really amazed. I would have thought that everybody knew what calories were. They ask about 10 people in the movie called Super Size Me. That's the name of the movie now, this documentary called Super Size Me. They ask about 10 people, what is a calorie? Not a single one knew what it was. Not one person could tell you what a calorie was. So let me tell you what a calorie is, and you're going to be smarter now. When you sit down at the dinner table tonight, just ask the family, you know, what is a calorie? And then listen to their responses, and you're going to know. A calorie is the heat energy of food. It's the way we measure. It's like BTUs is the way we measure the heat energy of gas or petroleum. Well, a calorie is the way we measure heat energy in food. And one calorie is the amount of energy that it takes to raise the temperature of 1 liter of liquid by 1 centigrade in temperature. Now, centigrade is about 2 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's about 2 degrees to a liter, and a liter is about a quart. So in case you didn't know, there you got the answer. Now, a doctor who was interviewed, not one of the three doctors that are doing this with Spurlock, but another doctor, he said that Meloxicam is the drug that they use for a heroin overdose. So if they bring somebody into a hospital and he's had a heroin overdose, they give him Meloxicam, M-A-L-O-X-I-N, I think is the way to spell that. And when you give this Meloxicam to an alcoholic, it stems the craving for the alcohol, just like it stems the craving. It works on your brain, is what it does, and stems the craving here for this heroin, stems the craving for this alcohol. And the same thing with fast foods. But you see, the fast foods have MSG along with caffeine, natural flavors, fat and salt, and other ingredients that are addictive. And they called these people who go into, now this is McDonald's language now, they called them heavy users or super heavy users. If you go to McDonald's, at least, they called them heavy users twice a week, and super heavy users if 3 to 5 times a week or more. Now, a user is a term that you use to somebody who is addicted to cigarettes or alcohol or drugs. Well, you're addicted to Big Macs. You're addicted to Coca-Cola. You're addicted to these fast food items. They taste good. There is no doubt about it. They really taste good. The reason they taste good is that these companies spend tremendous amounts of money on research to find out what most people like to taste. And MSG is right at the top of the list. And MSG is an excitotoxin. I mean, it's a deadly poison is what it is. But in small doses, it becomes addictive. Just like nicotine is a deadly poison. But in small doses, it becomes addictive. And it's the active ingredient in the tobacco that you're looking for. So you're going to McDonald's, you're going to KFC, you're going to Burger King to get a fix. That's what you're doing. Now, 100 nutritionists were asked, how often do you think that somebody should eat fast food? 98 nutritionists said never to one time per month. And they've got the various numbers in there. I didn't catch it all. only two nutritionists said that you could eat it as often as twice a week. Two Big Macs a week would be eight a month. 96 Big Macs a year. Two nutritionists said you could do that much. 98 of them said anywhere from none. I mean, most of the nutritionists, that is, half or more, said never. You ought never to eat. And one nutritionist put it this way. He said, if you're on a desert island starving to death and there's no other food available, yes, you should eat Big Macs. But he said, if there's anything available other than, you ought not to eat it. Yeah, that was the opinion of about 50%. And then of the other 48%, they said, well, maybe once a week to once a month. And two of them said twice a week. So there's the report on Super Size Me. Now, I don't have a price. All I can do is tell you that it's put out by Samuel Goldwyn, and it's called The Con, so I'm assuming it's called The Con Productions. The title of the movie is Super Size Me, and it's put out by a guy by the name of Morgan Spurlock. That's spelled S-P-U-R-L-O-C-K. I don't know what the price of it is, but if it was $100, it's worth the money. Now, last item on Super Size Me, when they get all through, the three doctors are being interviewed at the end of the movie, and they're all three of them, the general practitioner, well, what do you think of these results? And he said, I never would have predicted such an outcome. I could not have imagined that eating McDonald's for 30 days would cause this kind of bad health in so short a period of time. The heart specialist came in, essentially said the same thing. He said, I am amazed. I am surprised at these numbers. I can't believe that these numbers can manifest themselves this rapidly. Maybe in 5 years or something, but in 30 days, I couldn't believe it. And then the gastroenterologist, it was a female, it was an Indian female, and she said essentially the same thing. She said, now that I see the numbers, it makes all the sense in the world, but she said, I never would have predicted such an outcome. Now, that's fast food. And they picked on McDonald's. Now, you can do the same thing at Burger King or Wendy's or somebody else. I'm not here to get you to stop eating McDonald's. That's not my point in life. I don't care. I don't give a rat's rectum whether you eat McDonald's or not. I'm a reporter. I'm here to give you facts. The facts that I'm giving you this week is that there's going to be a physical shortage of food in the United States of America probably within your lifetime. And that's based upon Bible prophecy number one, but governmental policy number two. It's the governmental policy in the fascist organization of the multinational corporations that direct the policy that comes out of the Food and Drug Administration and the Department of Agriculture of the United States government. So as a reporter, I just wanted to tell you, so that's what you can probably expect. Now, as some side effects that come into this, let me give you a couple of three more stories that come out of the book called Seeds of Deception. Now, this is called Genetically Engineered Foods. It's a book written by Jeffrey M. Smith. And it's another dynamite book, 300 pages or so. Deals with this thing of exposing industry and government lies about the safety of genetically engineered foods that you're eating. Jeffrey Smith, published by Yes Books, P.O. Box 469, Fairfield, Iowa, 52556. And their phone number is 888-717-7000. That's 888-717-7000. Now, I don't get books from publishers. I go to Barnes & Noble. I just walk in the door and say, hey, listen, have you got Seeds of Deception? And they'll say, no, never heard of that. Would you order that for me? And then they say, well, what is the name of it? And they'll write down Seeds of Deception by Jeffrey M. Smith, and then they've got a catalog, and they look that up, and they say, oh, yeah, we can get that book, and it's $22.95, or it's $15.75, or it's $33.69, or whatever the price is. So just walk into your bookstore. This will be, it's a new book. It's Seeds of Deception, Genetically Engineered Foods, written by Jeffrey Smith. I don't care what the price of it is. It's worth every damn dime. Now, this is one of those 1 in 20 books. There's other books out there that talk about genetically modified foods. So it isn't quite 1 in 100, but it's certainly a 1 in 20. I mean, you're going to read 20 books before you read another one. Hey, listen to this quotation. It's on page 157, The Wisdom of Rats. The Washington Post reported that rodents usually happy to munch on tomatoes turned their noses up at the genetically modified flavor saver tomato that scientists were so anxious to test. Now, Calgene, that CEO Roger Salquist, said of his tomato, "I gotta tell you, you can be Chef Boyardee, and they are still not going to like them." They, the rats, are still not going to like them. Rats were eventually force-fed these tomatoes. These are called flavor-saver tomatoes, genetically engineered, through gastric tubes and stomach washes. Several rats developed stomach lesions. 7 out of 40 rats died within 2 weeks, but the tomato was approved for sale in the United States. Now, I'm going to do a little number here. Let's just take 7 and divide that by 40. And we get 18% died in 2 weeks. 18% of the rats tested on Flavor Saver tomatoes died. Now, Americans are dying in increasing numbers from heart attacks and strokes, muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, Alzheimer's disease, and a whole host and plethora of diseases that I've been talking to you about here over a period of time. And then I did a review of a book called Natural Remedies Encyclopedia. You remember that? Natural Remedies Encyclopedia. I must have got 100 calls. And I'm going to field your calls, but I want to tell you that I don't sell this book, Natural Remedies Encyclopedia. This is not a bookstore. This is a law school. And we don't sell books here. We review books and we recommend books. And I recommend books that have educational value. Socially redeeming educational value. But I want to tell you about a guy by the name of Baker Creek Seeds. Ah, come on, Gordon. Here we go. Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds, because the Baker Creek Company will sell you this book called Natural Remedies Encyclopedia for $30. Now, that's the number I got from my wife. Now, and I want you to call this guy because the price inside the book itself from the publisher says $87. Now, I imagine that these people up here at Baker Creek probably buy these by the case, would be my guess. And, of course, you and I do not buy books by the case because we're not selling books. At least I'm not. I'm trying to find the price here, and I don't see it right here, but I'm pretty sure that I quoted this price, and I'm pretty sure that I quoted you $87, as I recall. Can't find it right now in front of me, but Baker Creek said that they'd sell this book for $30. And I hope that that's the right price, and I'm not giving you the bum's rush here. So why don't you call them? Yeah, here it is right here. This is Natural Remedies Encyclopedia by Vance Farrell. Published by Harvest Time Books, Box 300, Altamont, Tennessee. Copyright 1998, first edition. Fourth edition was 2004. Anyway, I don't see the price in here, but I'm pretty sure that's what I told you, $87. Now listen, get this name and address down, because this guy at Baker Creek Seed, now this is called www.rareseeds.com. I'm kind of excited about this guy. www.rareseeds.com is their webpage. They call themselves your heirloom headquarters since 1998. Now they sell heirloom seeds here. This guy is an old Amish guy. Actually, he's a young Amish guy or Mennonite or something like that. And he's not wearing an earring, but he's a diehard. You know, this guy is a serious player in the game. He's not a multinational corporation concerned about the profit margin or a Wall Street analyst complaining about him not meeting his first quarter stock profit margin. This guy is interested in open pollinated seeds. And so, if you will go, this is Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds. They got a phone number here. It's 417-924-8917. Now, get that number down. That's area code 417-924-8917. Now, the good part about this is he's just up here, in Mansfield, I believe, Mansfield, Missouri, which is about 50 miles from our farm. We buy our seeds, or a lot of our seeds, from this guy. Now, I've got my own heirloom seeds, and I've had them for many, many years. There's another guy that's called Kent Wheely from Seed Savers Exchange. I'll give you a name and number for Kent Wheely as we progress along. But I just wanted to tell you about this guy here. This is Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds, 2278 Baker Creek Road, Mansfield, Missouri, 65704. If you didn't get that down, Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds. They're at 2278 Baker Creek Road. I guess that's why they call themselves Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds, because their store is on Baker Creek Road. Mansfield, Missouri. Mansfield, Mansfield, Missouri, 65704. So in preparing for this program, we got the seed catalog out. Now, if you'll tell him, send me your heirloom seed catalog, he'll do that. And you can rest assured that the seeds that you're buying are all heirloom seeds. Now, you cannot do that with every seed company or everyone that says they're selling heirloom seeds or old variety or open pollinated seeds, because they're selling hybrid seeds and they're lying to you. Not everybody, but some are. This guy isn't. This guy is a straight arrow. Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds. They've got a catalog, and he says now that he will sell you the Natural Remedies Encyclopedia for $30. I think that's stretching it, because if the price is $87, how's he buying them for $30? Now, he may be selling these at cost, I don't know. I didn't talk to him, the wife did. Ought to ask her about that. In the next program, I'll give you some more information about Natural Remedies Encyclopedia. I probably had 100 calls in here. You can get it from the manufacturer, and I told you it was $87, but this guy, Baker Creek, says he'll sell it to you for $30, so if you haven't bought it yet, it's quite a little savings. It's about a two-thirds savings here. Remember the phone number, 417-924-8917. Again, that's area code 417-924-8917, Baker Creek. The guy's name up there, she's got it down here, Jerry. I haven't met the guy, but whoever Jerry is. Now, the wife shops up there and buys every once in a while. She came back and said, this guy is a straight arrow. He's got the good seeds, and he'll sell you the Natural Remedies Encyclopedia. Over 11,000 inexpensive home remedies, covers over 730 diseases and disorders. A dynamite book. Now, that's a 1 in 100 book. Hey, I'm running out of time here. I got to give you our closer. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. You've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. I've got to leave it right there. Hey, we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So thanks for listening, and good night, friends.